Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the rented mule of free speech. I don't know if people actually rented mules, but I used to hear on the NBA games, one of the guys would talk about, he's treating the other team like a rented mule, meaning he's abusing them. I would not abuse a rented mule. I wouldn't abuse anybody's mule or any other rented animal or borrowed animal. I would not do that. And you wouldn't either. And even though we're not the Animal Humane Society, we are worthy of your fundage. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Round Rock, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, or phone it in to Sam or Mike or Julie. They will take your money, and you can call 1-800-724-2819, extension 3. Did I get that right, Jeremy?
2719, extension 3. You got
to
beam on
this. Is it 20? Oh, gosh, I've been saying it wrong. Okay. Never
beam
mind.
Beam on us. 20.
Okay, we're getting it, though. I won't forget it again.
Rented mule, I mean, I'm familiar, I know the phrase for like a rental car, like that's a thing, you're gonna rent a car, you're gonna treat it like really bad, and when they ask you if you want the insurance on the rental car, you're gonna be like, yes, give me the full insurance package, because this, some bitch is gonna see air, like I'm gonna, this thing's gonna be airborne during my rental of this car. You know, meaning you're gonna like roll really fast over a hill and ramp it up. Anyway, I get it.
So yeah.
Everybody treats a rental car horribly. I mean, do they?
I don't. No, I don't. I don't.
Oh no, I don't either. I mean, but I mean, like, people do.
I guess. I used to always take the insurance, and then I found out that, oh well, my own insurance works on rental cars, so I stopped taking it. What I didn't realize is my own insurance had like a $500 deductible for rental cars. Anywho, I was renting a car in Colorado Springs or Denver or somewhere out in Colorado. I guess I was driving from Denver to Colorado Springs. And, you know, I'm just driving real carefully. Well, all of a sudden, there's some truck that goes by me and kicks up some gravel, and I get a ding in the windshield. And I thought, oh, my God, ding in the windshield. And I called up my own insurance agent. He says, yeah, we'll cover it, but there's a $500 deductible. $500! Well, anyway, the guy at the rental place, I pointed it out to him because I'm honest, and he says, oh, that was already there. And he kind of winked at me. He kind of winked at me, and I thought, well, okay. So I'm not sure what he got out of it. I, maybe he just didn't want to deal with the hassle. I'm not sure. So
the summer of 2018, our church, we took the whole youth group to Holiday World, Santa Claus, Indiana, where Mike Rivera is at now. He wasn't there at the time, but I rented a car and drove a bunch of teenagers. And I did Farron Schultz's show the whole drive there. It was a Saturday morning, and I did the whole show in a rental car on the drive.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I think some people remember that, but that was a thing. So I took a page out of the Patrick Slattery, you know, just do the show wherever you're at, no matter what you're doing type thing. And we just did the whole show on the way there. It was fun.
So you don't get the best audio results. And sometimes there might be a distraction, but in general, I like doing it this way. I like doing it best with a dog. Second best, you know, driving in a car is okay. But, yeah, doing it with a dog is best.
Sometimes you're like remodeling your house. Like when David Duke brings you on the show, you're like remodeling or plumbing or something.
Well, once on Stormfront, I was doing some plumbing, and it sounded like I was doing something else in a different part of the house that is using the plumbing, but I was actually fixing the plumbing. I was under my kitchen sink. I just want to clarify that.
Because there was audible water running. That was funny.
That, I would never do such a thing.
I got something for you before we get into like serious content. I'm at the liquor store today and I'm parked like in the building next to the liquor store. So the Southern Baptists wouldn't see me go to the liquor store and park there because they get all upset about that for some reason. But anyway, I'm standing in line and I look at this bottle, of Buffalo Trace Distillery, kosher Kentucky straight bourbon. And I look at the bottom of it and sure enough, it's certified kosher by the Chicago Rabbinical Council. Have you ever heard of kosher bourbon? I mean, this thing's $100 a bottle.
They have kosher pork relish, so nothing would surprise me.
I'm blown away. I'm standing in line and I see this. So I take a picture of it and send it to you. Buffalo Trace Distillery sells kosher bourbon of all things. I grew up on bourbon on Jim Beam, literally, because my dad would fix me hot toddies when I was, you know, 9, 10 years old in the 80s. If I had congestion or sore throat, you know, I'd take a little bourbon, cut it with hot water and honey and lemon, and that would get rid of what ails you. Because back then in the 80s, you couldn't just go to the drugstore and get over-the-counter decongestants. I don't know if a lot of people remember that. You know, you couldn't get Claritin D or whatever. You had to get that. Decongestants were prescribed. So we had the old-fashioned hot toddy for ear, nose, and throat problems.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah. But then later, when I got into my 20s and 30s, I moved on to Irish whiskey. Jameson is my whiskey of choice. And I'm off bourbon. I'm not really a bourbon fan. That could surprise a lot of people being from Kentucky. Because Kentucky's known for its bourbon. It has to be done in Kentucky, distilled in Kentucky with like certain minerals from the waters here. That's what makes it bourbon.
Yeah, well, I quit drinking over 40 years ago and I don't remember. I didn't drink that much hard liquor in the first place. It was easier to get beer or wine. But if you were in New Jersey, you could get at 18 anything. So, but I don't know. So I remember Southern Comfort. I remember vodka. I don't know if I ever had bourbon. I couldn't tell you.
Well, it's distilled corn, which, you know, you get a lot of GMOs in corn. Whereas the European whiskeys, your Irish whiskeys and your scotches, that's distilled barley, and it's a lot purer. Anyway, we're getting off on a tangent. What did you have for us on today's show? We closed out talking about the indictment and Jewish power on my show last night.
Well, yeah, and we had been talking about the Trump indictment. If someone wants to hear us talk about the Trump indictment, they might as well go back and listen to yesterday's show, because my show, it's the Trump indictment's going to be that much older news. And so you can go back and listen to that. What else do we have? We've got all sorts of stuff going on. We've got a veritable tranny apocalypse. I would call it the tranny apocalypse.
It's if Mad Max were a tranny, it would be like Mad Max tranny beyond the Thunderdome apocalypse. Because, you know, we had the shooting in Nashville, and I'm going to hold to my cards here that tranny was trained. Now, I do think that kids were shot. I don't think the whole thing was like a crisis actor. Because there was a guy on John Moore's show today. Let me get you the name. The first name is Steve. He went to church with somebody whose grandchild was shot. Let me get this here. Leon Green. So Leon Green is a guest on John Moore's show on the first 3 hours of RBN's broadcast weekdays. So Leon Green said that one of his church members, one of their granddaughters, was shot in Nashville. So probably was real shooting. But this trainee that was, you know, going through the school, like, it looked very well trained. It looked like it. And I don't mean like that it was a civilian that did like some seminar where they trained with weapons.
We could say she.
She. Unless, it was, yeah. I think it was a she, yeah.
It was a so she. It was a female to male trainee.
Yes, she was very well trained. I could tell by the way she walked and held her weapon. Very calculated. So what to make of it? I think there really was a shooting, but that this person, this she to male trainee, had training and maybe was on a lot of SSRI drugs. And so now what do we see? I mean, the usual just basic bitch gun control thing. They want to, you know, crack down on ARs and weapons. And, you know, if the whole thing was orchestrated, here's the thing. Why would they use a tranny? Why wouldn't they use like a white nationalist? If the whole thing were crisis actors, why wouldn't they put like a white guy in there that had a bunch of Hitler stuff on his hard drive and a lot of white nationalists and Trump supporter talking points? That would be like the wet dream for Merrick Garland, wouldn't it? So that's why I'm thinking the whole thing's not just totally crisis actors in control. But I think there is a certain amount of interference there with the federal government in that this person, this female, was well-trained. I don't know. Okay. We're getting into some shady territory. I really wanted to get into the Biden executive order, but just real quick, do you have a comment on what I just said about what you think this thing is?
Yeah, I hope I can express it. So there is a narrative, and there has been for a long time, that the mass shootings are fake because and they're used to push gun control legislation, right? They're used to push gun control legislation. Now, we also have this phenomenon of sometimes the mass shootings supposedly, seemingly, are by white people, and sometimes they're by non-whites or trannies, right? We have that case. It's obvious that when it's not a white person, those mass shootings tend to be they disappear from the news cycle real fast, a lot faster, or they will whitewash the shooter. So you had in Buffalo a year or two ago a shooter. They were calling him white, but he was, what was he, a Syrian immigrant, or the child of Syrian immigrants. So you have that. So there's two things you can draw from that. One is that, well, what you were mentioning, why would they, if these were all fake, why would they even have the shootings from non-whites or non-heteros, right? The other thing is, clearly, the shooters, like, there's, aside from the whole gun control thing, if a white person is said to be the shooter, this is bad for whites, right? It's bad for whites. If it's a non-white shooter, if it's a tranny shooter, then it goes against that narrative. That would be bad for, you know, if it's bad for the trannies. Trannies are violent people in, compared to normal people. Trannies are more violent. If it's a black shooter, well, and there are, most mass shootings actually are blacks. It's just that their aim's not so good. And that would be bad for the blacks. If people understood how many mass shootings are committed by blacks, it would be bad for the blacks. So here's the thing. Sometimes it can be the very, very same individual who, on the one hand, will say that these are all fake, they're all crisis actors, but on the other hand, they will Fed post. It can be the exact same individuals who will call up and say, you know, we can't vote our way out, so we got to shoot our way out. So on the one hand, there seems to be a recognition that a mass shooting crime, a violent crime, is against the interests of the group that person would be a member of. And yet, for whatever reason, sometimes it's the same people who say, well, we got to start shooting. I don't get it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm trying to compile some data on these shootings. One of the common denominators is that these shooters are on SSRI drugs. So there's one. They're having a lot of trouble coming up with pure white European shooters. I mean, other than the dude that went into the Jewish synagogue, what was that, California? In April or May of 2019.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I think I remember that one.
That dude was white. And then, but like the Uvalde shooter, I mean, he was like 18. He was clearly not white. He was some mixture, Hispanic looking, I don't know. But he was on SSRIs, and he had another common denominator, two common denominators. Number one, SSRI drugs. Number two, all the weapons were legally purchased by somebody, and the shooter had access to them, or the shooter themselves legally purchased them. So there's that. My take, I guess, overall is that the shootings are real, but that the FBI, some way or some form, has interacted with these shooters. And that they're compromised. Because like I said, I can't get that image out of my head of the Nashville tranny shooter being very well trained in just the way that she handled herself. Mm-hmm. And the weapon, walking in and out of the rooms and through the hallways. Very spooky, very eerie to me. But I guess, another like overall take is none of that really matters to get in the weeds on that. The end result is, you know, they're wanting to enact legislation to take away our weapons because they're afraid of us. And they're afraid of what they've done in the last 10, 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so obviously the FBI they do get involved, and they always have, in order to create crimes that wouldn't have happened otherwise, create crimes that are good for them, that wouldn't have happened otherwise. And so you see the whole, you know, Gretchen Slutmore kidnapping. That wouldn't have happened otherwise. There wouldn't have been any plot to kidnap that biatch, because why would you want to kidnap that biatch? I mean, for what purpose?
Like 90% were federal informants, weren't they? Like they couldn't even, like the case was thrown out.
Yeah, and like the January 6th stuff, which is a very, very large scale, but there were feds all over that. And I think that feds in internet chat rooms getting people to commit crimes, I think that's all very real. With the shootings, the thing about the shootings is I think that you are going to have – first of all, those are going to happen anyway. And so I don't think that the feds, that's the type of thing that the feds really don't need to stage. I think that type of thing is going to happen anyway, and not because of the availability of guns, even though whenever it happens, they try to push anti-gun legislation. But it's going to happen because America is so destabilized. So if you have a country that compared to 30 years ago or 40 years ago, where homosexuality or people who identify, say, let's just say young people who identify as homosexuals is like, what, 10, 20 times higher than it used to be? People who are on drugs like you're talking about is way, way higher than it used to be. All sorts of things, all sorts of reflections of societal ills. Divorce is way higher than it used to be. Out of wedlock birth is way higher than it used to be. A lot of things that are a reflection of a deterioration of society are way higher than it used to be. And so I don't see it as being that hard to believe that that mass shootings would be much higher than they used to be also.
To everyone he meets, he stays. For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Society are way higher than it used to be. And so I don't see it as being that hard to believe that that mass shootings would be much higher than they used to be also.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have a combination of, you know, organic mass shootings because of the breakdown of society, because of the what's been pushed on society by Jewish-dominated elites. Then you have a mixture of things that the FBI probably has gotten into and influenced. You take just, I mean, you remember the Columbine shooting. I mean, that seemed to be organic. Then you have here in Kentucky, there were two main shootings, and I knew the people that lost children in those shootings. And I mean, I don't think that those were crisis actors or anything. And I don't know to what, if the FBI was involved, but it doesn't seem like it. In 1997, you had the Heath High School shooting in Paducah, where a 14-year-old came in and shot a bunch of kids. 2018, in the spring, you had shooting in Marshall County schools, right about the same age. You know, a ninth grader came in and shot up a bunch of kids. And I knew a lot of the people involved in that and who lost kids. And those things were real. Those, I think, were organic. Those were examples of what you're pointing out, of just societal breakdown, and kids just going nuts, and committing these horrible acts of violence. So I think there's a good mixture you know, things. Mm-hmm. But the end result is, you know, the government always tries to come and impose unconstitutional gun bans on us because they're afraid. They're afraid of the populist uprising.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think I don't think that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're on a fool's errand, but they are fools. They're the right people for the job. There's how many hundreds of millions of guns are in American households? They're not going to get them. But you know, there was a certain amount of success in disarming Australia. So it's not as if we shouldn't take this seriously. We should take it seriously. Last thing, you know, people, do call into radio shows from time to time in FedPost and say, you know, it's time. I'm tired of all this talk. We need action, things like that. Right. And it's possible that some of them are feds. That's not my default reaction. But what I think it typically is, if people looking around, seeing how horrible everything is, and it's kind of an understandable gut reaction. Everything's so horrible. Yeah. Wow, it's a gut reaction that people have. The types of people who call into RBN, I think they have that kind of gut reaction, but basically just they need to get it off their chest. And so they'll call in and FedPost. They're not going to go out and do shootings. But the thing is, you see what's going on and you get frustrated, right? And I think there are people who get frustrated in society for real reasons and for imaginary reasons, and everybody and everything is so bizarre and destabilized that trannies feel that they've got a gripe against society, that blacks feel that they've been suppressed with Jim Crow their whole lives, you know, and I think that there are real and genuinely felt, although imaginary, reasons that people are very frustrated. And some of them do more than Fed posting.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we have this revolutionary spirit, you know, as American Europeans from our forefathers. You know, it courses through our veins. It's in us and people. That's kind of initial reaction. Well, we're tired of seeing children mutilated. We're tired of all of this homo marriage and, you know, COVID measure. We're tired of all of this. And so the initial reaction for some people, maybe they're not feds. They just really just think, well, we got to do something. And that's where they default to. Where I was going with this, Brandon did an executive order. This is in whitehouse.gov dated March 14th. So I think this is even before the Nashville shooting, talking about the effective use of red flag laws and keeping guns out of people's hands that don't need them. The red flag laws is where I really wanted to concentrate on. That's kind of a slippery slope. I mean, you could make the case, you know, in this context, well, you know, my neighbor, or my cousin, or my brother-in-law, whatever, they're expressing a lot of anti-government hostilities because of the election hoax and COVID and trainees and all that. Therefore, we're going to report them. We're going to red flag them. And this seems to be a way to keep guns out of, you know, responsible American citizens' hands that should have them. That's one of the main reactions that I see to this. So do you have a comment on that, EO? Are you familiar with it?
Well, I mean, I'm familiar with the basic idea of red flag laws. And this is something that is really difficult because there are people who are an imminent danger to themselves and to others and shouldn't have guns. But the red flag laws...
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the pandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the Snowflakes, and Oklahoma.
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong.
Let's put my arms around you, and we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven, just you and me. This feels like heaven.
You're listening to RBN, in defense of the Republic.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Basic idea of red flag laws, and this is something that is really difficult because there are people who are an imminent danger to themselves and to others and shouldn't have guns. But the red flag laws, the scope for abuse of them, I mean, there is so much abuse that can be abused in such a way that whatever benefit you can derive from getting a gun out away from somebody who is an imminent threat to himself or others and a real threat, but still the abuse can more than outweigh that. So it is very difficult. If we lived in a society run by people who had our best interests at heart, that would be one thing, but it's not. And, you know, we know that, our society is run by people who don't have our best interests at heart. It's a Jewish dominated elite, and the Jews have, in my view, a kind of paranoia, and they are afraid of the people that they rule over, in particular white people, and they are trying to disarm us. And so this is, the red flag laws, even if there is a logic to them that's legitimate, at this point in our society, how much benefit is going to be derived and at what cost? That's the way I look at it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and another larger question that I'm posing here is, like, how long will it be until, like, people that would be called white nationalists or pro-white, or even just people like us that just, you know, call out Jewish power, how long will it be before we're added to this DSM manual, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders? This is from psychiatry.org.
And are we not in there already?
They're wanting to add us. Have we been added? I'm looking up the thing now.
Well, I mean, white identity has been pathologized. It's been pathologized decades ago by the Frankfurt School, and it is just a matter of time before we're in, diagnostic manuals from the American Psychiatric Association or whatever. It is just a matter of time. We've been thoroughly pathologized. First the Frankfurt School, now, the media and the FBI, right? You have Christopher Wray testifying to Congress that white nationalists are the biggest domestic terror threat that we face. All this nonsense. So people have every reason to be alarmed at these developments.
So just to mark how far we've come, I mean, in the 60s, the 1960s in the DSM, you would have had homosexuals and transvestites, in this manual as mentally unstable. And back then, I don't think they were doing any sort of a prohibition on guns. You could pretty much just clip an article out of a gun magazine and order a weapon, in America, no matter who you were. But back then, that this tranny would not have been able to legally purchase guns, but now she did. She legally purchased these weapons, I think 7 total. The ones which she used in the shooting were ARs. And so that's shifting rapidly, as you brought up. That could very well be people that express a pro-white view or that question Jewish power. They could easily be added to this manual and completely, their Second Amendment rights stripped. Because these are the people that they fear.
One of the things I've noticed over the past, I guess going back to maybe around 2015 or 2016, maybe 2016, but it was when probably during the Trump campaign, you started getting people like Richard Spencer, for instance, going around giving talks at universities. You started getting say, pro-Trump or pro-white people or groups doing in real life events, and they would be confronted by Antifa, right? And what struck me was how many trannies were part of Antifa and how violent these trannies were. Because since the rise of Antifa in, the mid-teens, there has been this big tranny contingent. And they're violent. Normally you would think of, okay, what's a tranny? Well, it could be a female to male tranny, which is basically a lesbian who wants to be very butch, but is a biological female. And biological females are just, they're less, biological females are less aggressive than biological males, but also, even if they're trannified, they're going to be weaker. And why would weak people want to get violent? And then the male to female, males who want to be female, they're going to tend to be more effeminate, you would think. So it was all very counterintuitive to me. Why are they so violent? But they are violent. And I had seen in the previous decade, in the first decade of the 20th century, and even like I personally saw anarchists. They were called anarchists. They weren't called Antifa, but they were anarchists, and they dressed in black. And I can remember in particular at one G20 demonstration or a World Bank demonstration or something, these people in black, and they were pushing dumpsters into the road and being confrontational with police, and none of them were trannies. But there's been this big continuum. I went to Charlottesville and I saw a bunch of trannies amongst the Antifa, And they're very violent. And so this is something that's odd, and I don't know what the data on it is, but just what you see on the news or what I've seen in real life is there are a lot of trannies in these groups, and they're very violent.
They're in conflict with nature itself. I mean, with their X chromosomes or XY chromosomes, depending on you know what it is. They're in conflict with nature itself. I mean, it would make sense that they're in conflict with the social order. You know, that they see the white patriarchal social order that was dominating America. It doesn't dominate it now, but they see it as that way. So it would make sense that they're very violent. And like I said, in the 60s, these individuals would have been recognized and, you know, been given help and counseling and maybe even put into an institute. But now they're empowered. Now they're empowered by Jewish dominated elite. And this very same elite sees people like us as hostile and, possibly, you know, a threat to their power through violence, even though I don't think that's the case. I can't name five people, Patrick. And I'm in like Bible thumping, you know, America, guns, God, and Bible, like part of Kentucky. And I couldn't get five people to join a militia here right now because they just don't want to do that. They're just not violent. They just want to live their lives. And so this is a thing that the Jewish dominated elite has projected on people like us, is that they think we're ready to overthrow them at the flick of a switch, and we're just not. I mean, people just aren't willing to do that. So, you know, that's why the response is we'll take guns away from these people. You know, stop their ability to overthrow the government. Mm-hmm. Even though I don't think that's a thing. I don't think that people here are willing or ready to do that or even capable of doing that.
The Jewish elite, the people who are in the Jewish elite are not geniuses. And we're talking about this on the part one show, talking about different factions, different ways of thinking amongst the Jewish elite. And sometimes we talk about them as being the double or nothing and the cash in your chips and come back later. You go fast, go slow. Metal to the pedal to the metal, or the go slow people. And they're both paranoid, but it's just an issue of how long they think it's going to take. And the thing is, what you're bringing out and what I completely agree with is the vast majority of Americans, even Americans who are really disgusted at what's going on, are not prepared to go out and join a militia. They just want to live their lives. And honestly, if they had just done the go slow approach, they would have gotten their way. I can't see a scenario in which they wouldn't have gotten their way. I mean, even with Trump. But they're not as smart as a lot of people seem to think they are, and they've made huge mistakes by just going full out like this. Hey, I got one other thing. I just want to ask. So, have you seen the film footage, the video of this guy in Vancouver, Canada, who went out into a park with a billboard around his neck saying, children cannot consent, right? And he got viciously attacked by trannies. There's one really big tranny in his face just saying, F you, F you, F you. And then he just started pushing and violently attacking this guy. Have you seen that footage?
No, I have not seen it. I'm looking it up as we speak. Go ahead.
Well, a lot of people have, and maybe this guy was on Tucker or is going to be on Tucker. I would think he would be. It's been pretty much on the conservative normie media. But the thing is, this guy, this tranny, was a big guy, a big tough-looking guy with, you know, lipstick and a wig or something. But he was a big guy. He could have been like 6'3", 6'4". He could have been a defensive end on a football team. He was a big guy. What the heck is getting into people? One of the trannies that I know. Somebody who used to be a kid that I did martial arts with, but he's since moved off. And for whatever reason, I saw him on a social media thing. He's 6'7" and he's a tranny now. What the heck is going on? Why would a big, tough guy? I mean, was that ever a thing? Weren't like gays and whatnot in the past homosexuals? They were effete and small. Like, was I missing something?
I don't know. I mean, you got this tranny thing where, you got tranny men that say they're women that want to compete in mixed martial arts. Fox. Now, what was that dude's name? He called himself Fox. I'm going to look it up. But he just went into MMA and just beat the crap out of female MMA fighters and dominated. I mean, these people are very violent. They're psychologically unstable. And they take their aggression out on just whoever they can get their hands on. I'm going to look it up right now. You know who I'm talking about? Hit Fox in the name.
Yes, I do know what you're talking about. Andrew Anglin wrote an article where he said he approves of that. Women shouldn't be doing this.
Fallon Fox. That was a big thing. This dude is like 48. But yeah, 10 years ago, he said he was a woman and went into mixed martial arts with women and just beat the living crap out of them. I mean, that's very violent. Like, knowing that you're a stronger, like, physically, a dominant male and you go into a female fighting sport. So, number one, I do not agree with females being in fighting sports. Mm-hmm. If you're a female and you want to be in a sport, okay, tennis, badminton, I'll give you that. But not fighting. I don't agree with that at all. But that having been said, it's a thing, female MMA. And this dude just went in there and beat the crap out of him. I mean, that's a psychosis. To know that you're stronger and physically dominant and you just go in and beat these women up. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't mm-hmm. think he's a woman. I'm not buying that crap at all. Not at all. He just wanted to dominate and beat down someone that's weaker than him.
Yeah. I think women wanting to defend themselves in this crazy world, I can see a woman wanting to study martial arts, but just like I can see a woman wanting to learn how to shoot.
Well, yeah,
I can understand that, but I don't think they should be in pro fighting, and I don't think they should be in the military.
Yeah, we're in agreement. Let me just, streamline what I just said. Yeah, females that want to defend themselves and learn martial arts from rapists. I mean, we've got all these third worlders coming in that want to rape our white women. I think they should be able to learn how to defend themselves. But that's a totally different ballgame than being in MMA and fighting. A woman's body was not designed for that. I say designed by God to bear children. You as an agnostic or an evolutionist might say they evolved to nurture children, whatever. At the end of the day, where our analysis are the same, they're not meant. They're not, designed or evolved to fight and do that sort of thing. And that's why men for thousands of years have went into warfare and left the women at home with the children. That's a thing. So, but, I mean, bringing it back full circle, so this tranny female to male that shot up the kids in Nashville, I mean, you put her on a bunch of drugs, you put her through a bunch of military training, and you tell her how the aggressive Christian patriarchy is suppressing her. I mean, perfect storm. Boom. You get a shooter. That's my take on the whole shooting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a few minutes left, and I want to get grumpy old guy on you. And so I go out in public, and today I went out in public, and for whatever reason, I didn't see anybody that I thought was a freak. Wow, that's refreshing, because yesterday and the day before and almost every day, when I do go out in public, I see all these people and I think they're freaks. And so just in the past, a couple days ago, I was walking around I was in a botanical garden actually, and among, I saw the usual mixture. The least freaky people seem to be the immigrants. because they haven't been exposed to this Jewish degeneracy for so long. But, you know, I see the really fat women walking around with their guts hanging out, you know, dressed like sluts, but they're fat, and they've got tattoos, and they've got piercings, and increasingly I'm seeing piercings in places I've never seen them before. Pierced foreheads? Since when was that a thing? And it's just gross. And that, then face tattoos. And that, men and women. I've seen...
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
with
States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? What are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
They got tattoos and they got piercings, and increasingly I'm seeing piercings in places I've never seen them before. Pierced foreheads? Since when was that a thing? And it's just gross. And that, then face tattoos. And that, men and women. I'm seeing face tattoos. I don't know if you're not seeing it yet. It's coming to a Walmart near you, I guess.
Women who would normally be attractive with a bunch of tattoos on their face and their septum pierced, I mean, it's just like disgusting.
It is disgusting. And anybody, 30 years ago or 50 years ago, if they had seen, so I remember the first time I saw somebody with like full sleeve arm tattoos or neck tattoos, which was about 30 years ago. It was a librarian at my university. I saw this person. I was like, oh my God, why would you do such a thing to yourself? He's permanently disfigured. And that was my gut reaction. That was 30 years ago. And then I remember maybe 15 years ago watching TV, and there was an ad for something, and they showed a guy who had the tattoos. And I thought, now they're pushing it. You know, if once you see it on advertisements, that's what they're pushing. Oh, one other thing I saw on Saturday, I was at a location where there was a TV on in the background. The sound, it was playing a game, but it was some sort of bouncy ball game. And during the commercial, I couldn't hear anything, but the person who I was talking to was standing. I could see the TV over his shoulder, and I saw a black man, a large, very dark black man, and a very small blonde woman walking and holding hands. And that got my attention. And sure enough, that was a commercial for Trojan condoms. So I mentioned that to Dr. Duke, and he said, well, actually, that could be very, very racist, because he's laughing while he's saying this. But they're saying, hey, you don't want to get pregnant because you're going to have a low IQ baby, and the father's not going to help support it. And you don't want to get an STD because, you know, these people, they're 10 times as likely to have STDs. Laughing about it. But it's really not a laughing matter. You got a few minutes left, a couple minutes left. What's your final thoughts?
Especially for women, the tattoos and the multiple piercings, it's this destruction of the body. It's indicative of a mental disorder. I want to destroy my body, and I want to just put it on display. That's the message that is sent, and that's the message I'm getting. 70 years ago, maybe it was a little different thing. If you had a sailor that had some of the ports tattooed on his arm that he's been to, or an anchor, you know, or a heart. Mom, you know, that's one thing, or whatever.
It was only sailors who had tattoos.
Yes.
And they weren't getting tattoos in America.
Beautiful European women, you know, I mean, that's saying that I don't care. And then these women that do all the hair dye and the piercings and tattoos that are fat, and they wear these leggings where you can see their camel toes, and they wear them to church, bro. I got to look at camel toes at church of fat women in leggings. And it's just like, this is saying I don't care what I look like. And I hate myself. That's what they're saying.
Yes, indeed. Very well put. All right. Well, Jeremy, I really want to thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Patrick.
Say classy. Was this a classy show?
We tried. We really tried.
When you look up classy in the dictionary, you're going to see a picture of this show.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because